So we're talking about maintaining the divine flow of provision, and I want to just emphasize that we're interested in keeping the flow going. Aren't you glad to have running water in your house? Not one that works occasionally. And if you live in the county, you might have some problems with your well and that kind of a thing, but you want it to be a continuous flow. When things aren't flowing, they stagnate. And we want to see God's flowing in your life. And we point out that it's a divine flow. It's orchestrated by God. It's ordained by God. It reflects His will. And we know that He is the source. Say it, my God is the source. Not the government. Not the church. Can you say it again? Not the government. Not the church. Not relatives. Not the job. God. God gave you the job. God gave you the resources. And when you begin to think that something you're attached to naturally is your source, that's when you get yourself in trouble. No matter what season you're in or where things are coming from, God's behind it all when it comes to a believer. And aren't you glad He is never late? Yeah. And aren't you glad He's on the throne tonight? Amen. So look with me at Luke chapter 6, verse 38. We'll talk about several of these factors that will keep the flow going and flowing in your life. But start with this, give and it shall be given. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. Anybody here ready for the overflow? Now watch this, not an overflow once in a blue moon, but overflow consistently in your life. Now I realize if you struggle with this, or maybe you've had some religious teaching about this, or you've never really understood, or maybe you just sat back when we were exhorted by the brethren in this church about the offering principles that work, you just didn't click with you, or maybe the religion or tradition overrode that. But I can assure you this, God wants you to see this particular principle work on an ongoing basis for your life. Amen. It's running over. Say it's running over. Will be poured into your lap. Now, of course, that's contingent on some foundational principles and behaviors like the tithe, for example. But it also is conditioned upon the measure that you use. If you use, a little bit of teaspoon, guess what? Don't expect a dump truck back. Can I have an amen? Some of y'all have teaspoon faith and you want a dump truck harvest. It just doesn't work that way. But if you're starting and you're starting with a teaspoon, well, great, praise the Lord. Just don't stay there with a teaspoon. Can I have an amen? Then in Galatians chapter 6, the Bible tells us this very powerfully. You can read these verses on your own time in more detail. And I encourage you to look these verses up in various translations. But the J.B. Phillips translation says basically, a man's harvest in life depends entirely upon the seeds that he has sown. Now listen to those words carefully. A man's harvest when?
In life.
Depend on what? Entirely upon the seeds that who has sown? See, if you're not careful, you'll relegate to what's going on in your life in terms of provision to, you know, this situation or what they're doing or what they're saying. But who has control over the harvest of your life? You do. Say it, I do. Shout that out, a man's harvest or a woman's harvest. See, we only have two genders in this church. A man's harvest or a woman's harvest in life depends entirely. Shout that out, entirely. Upon the seeds that he or she has actually sown. This means that we determine our harvest in life. We determine the quality. We determine the consistency of our harvest all by the consistency and the quality of our giving. And, people bristle at that. And what's interesting to me is maybe you were like me when you grew up, you didn't have a lot of teaching, the word. You had certain liturgy that you're exposed to and you certain services and times of the year. And I remember, the church being decorated for Advent and that kind of thing. But it's funny how you can believe something in the negative, but never, renew your mind enough to believe it in the positive. For example, have you ever heard somebody say, God's going to get you for that?
Yeah.
Or somebody said, what goes around comes around, or maybe they said flippantly, you're going to reap what you sow. And we are so quick to believe that when it's applied to negative things. Matter of fact, most of us believe that without even a verse of scripture. That's just the way it is. Or they speak in terms of cosmic universal forces like karma. No, my friend, it's not karma. It's a spiritual law that goes all the way back to Genesis. Remember what you've been taught in this church. Obey and understand the law of first words, the first mention. God gave us seed time and harvest. And that's why there is such a thing as what goes around comes around. But you need to renew your mind to the point where you're believing that just as much in the positive as you've been taught to believe that in the negative. Raise your hand if you have it down on the negative. And it's true. You sow a bunch of garbage, you're going to reap what? A bunch of garbage. Why won't religious people just not stop there, but go on to believe that God will do this in the positive in their life? I saw a news story today after it snowed in Kentucky. And, this man and his fiance went out and they built a 9-foot-tall snowman. He's originally from Buffalo, New York, so he has seen some snow. I think she's from the south somewhere and has never seen snow at all. So this was a big deal. What they did was they built this 9-foot snowman, and they built it on top. The first base was around a stump, a big old wooden stump, and then built it around it like this. And then, of course, they built the second ball, which was big, and then, of course, the head. So it stood at 9 feet tall, and all you could see at the base was this big snowball. And so somebody in Kentucky with a pickup truck thought it'd be fun to run the snowman over until he realized it was a big stump and not snow. My brothers and sisters, that's not karma. That's seed time and harvest. Stupid is as stupid does. And they're interviewing the guy that built the snowman, and he couldn't stop laughing. This was the funniest thing. You know, so what do you do if you're the guy in the truck? Get out and complain? No. I'm sorry I was running over your snowman, and now my car's ruined, my engine is destroyed. No. Look at somebody say, seed time and harvest. Amen. Paul, is it okay if I have a little fun at your expense tonight? Okay. So we had our staff Christmas party for our staff members and their wives. And Bart, I wasn't here to tell the story, but Timothy told me this secondhand. So if I get it wrong, tell me it's wrong, okay? But Paul and Steve decided they would re-gift a gift from last year. True or false?
It was true.
Okay. So you brought Mariopoly. And the first thing when somebody opened up the present is it wasn't wrapped in cellophane. It was just like it was. And then Steve regifted a baking set.
Baking set, yeah.
All right.
Oh my gosh.
Everybody say seed time and harvest. So when the night was over, guess who got the baking dish?
Steve.
Paul. And guess who got Mariopoly?
Steve.
Seed time and harvest. Amen. The moral of that story is don't be so cheap. Hallelujah. Come on, say it, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. We just kind of take these things for granted, but I want to encourage you over the next 3 weeks as you enter this new year, you enter in faith, believing your God's going to provide like you've never seen Him provide before, that you are not serving a God who doesn't care about the natural things of your life. Amen? And I don't care to entertain the negative religious people who deny these principles. They deny everything supernatural. Why wouldn't they deny this as well? That's what I'm telling you tonight. It's the divine flow of provision. You are not limited to what you can do. You're not limited to what you're exposed to. You're not limited to your experiences in the past. Aren't you glad? That if your past, you think about limitations and you think about things not working out and you think about, you know, low bank accounts, you think about trouble, you think about bills coming out of nowhere, don't reference your past, reference the principles of the Word of God. Seems to me that you can thrive in 2025. Amen?
Amen.
Come on, say, I'm going to thrive in 2025. Deuteronomy 28 kind of lets the cat out of the bag when it says, if you hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord your God, all these blessings shall come up on you. It seems to me you're being kind of overtaken in a river or in a flow. All these blessings shall come up on you and overtake you. And then it begins to list all the different things the blessings associated with. Now, how many glad you're on the blessing side of that scripture and not the curse side of that scripture? Because the curses are unbelievable. But one of the things that says, and Kelly's brought this up before, is a whole list of various diseases that are all part of the curse, and they're not going to come on you because you have what? You have honored what God said in His Word. You begin to say to yourself, all these blessings, say, all these blessings shall come up on me and then overtake me. Well, that wasn't supposed to be a one and done.
No,
it's supposed to be the way things are, a flowing. You see, the blessing doesn't create or cause an isolated event. Say that with me. The blessing does not cause an isolated event. What does it cause? It causes a flow. Now, if you're born again, there's something on you. And it's caused the blessing. It's called the blessing. And that blessing produces a flow, a divine flow of provision, and everything else that is listed there in Deuteronomy 28. Now, that's the first part, is realizing that the blessing is even available to you and to me. Aren't you glad? But also understanding this, that the divine flow is not controlled by the will of God. The divine flow is controlled by your will. No, it's all up to God. No, I know there are people out there that are radical predestination teachers and preachers, you know, and they say the most off-the-wall things. But the reality is that it's entirely up to you and me. Think about scriptures where God challenges his people. I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Now what? Now choose life. What did Joshua tell his countrymen in transition? You know what? Y'all do what you want. You want to keep on doing what your other ancestors did and go over here and worship Astra, this god of sexuality and impurity and lust, and then followed up with worshiping Baal, putting the children that are derived from your impurity and immorality through the fire. You go on and do it if you want to. But as for me, what does he say? We're going to serve the Lord. That is a daily choice and a daily decision. It means that everything associated with the provisions of the blessing, that's not about God's will. God's will has already been established. He established the blessing. Now, who's going to take him up on that offer? Who's going to walk the blessed life? Say, I am. Say, the divine flow is not about God's will. It's about my will. Listen to this in Isaiah 18, verse 18. If only you had paid attention to my commands, your peace would have been like a river, your well-being like the waves of the sea. I believe that reference is wrong. But the point of the scripture here is there is an ability to walk in a wholeness and a soundness that flows like a river in your life. Shout out with unpunctuated. It does not stop. It just keeps flowing. Think about that. A river of blessing. And there you are swimming in it. Hallelujah. You're like dog paddling or whatever you do. Amen. But you need to flow with that. Amen. And to do that, you've got to flow differently than what the world would tell you to do. Isaiah 46, 4 and 5. God's blessings are like a river. They fill the city of God with joy. That city is the holy place where the Most High God lives. Because God is there, the city will not fall. Now, what does it say? God's blessings are like a river. Has anybody ever seen a river just stand still?
No.
That is what? Usually a lake. And if it's there and there's no life there, amen, there's no victory, there is no peace there. Why is the Dead Sea called the Dead Sea? Has an intake, but has no outtake. So you and I know that the blessing of God is given to us to, first of all, bless and empower his people, because this confirms his covenant, Deuteronomy 8:17. How many understand that God providing for you is the fulfillment of his covenant with you?
Yes.
And so establishes his covenant. But according to what we know from Abraham, we're blessed to be what? To be a blessing. So the first side of the coin of the blessing is to receive what God has. The other side of the coin is to make sure we're being a blessing to other people. Have you noticed a lot of people out there in trouble?
Yeah.
They need help. They need assistance. They need encouragement. And you and I have a whole lot more to offer than you realize. It's a matter of being present and being available for the Holy Ghost to use you. So what this really means is there's a divine flow of provision. But if you really want to flow in this, you want to make sure that you're flowing towards other people as well with provision. Say, I'll take God on that. I believe it. I receive it. Say,
I'm blessed.
And I am a blessing. But if you'll think about this, there is a river that is basically called of God, designed to continue to flow. And it has nothing to do with his will now. His will is established. It has to do with your will and my will. Now, underneath all this is a foundation. I'm going to talk to you about these nine principles. But underneath all this is a foundation. And you know you've been taught this, 3 John verse 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest, what? Prosper and be in health as your what?
Soul.
Even as your soul prospers. You being right with God is the key. I can't make any of this work for anybody that will not get their lives right with Christ. Amen. And I'll tell you, I'm surprised sometimes at the hardness, you know, of people and where they are. I was ministering to an individual the other day that somebody, you know, asked me to go see, and I did. And, I mean, they acknowledged that they had heard the story of Jesus and the two thieves on the cross. I'm just sowing the seeds explained to him at his season in life. He probably doesn't have very long. And so trying to encourage him, it's not about everything you have done, not your Sunday school attendance, it's not about how much you tithe, it's not how much you did, it's whatever it is. The thief on the cross basically destroys everybody's theology. Because he wasn't baptized, wasn't baptized in the Holy Ghost, wasn't a church member, never even read the Bible. And the only prayer we know that he prayed was what? He acknowledged in the hearing of that other thief his sinful life. And then he directed himself towards what? To confession of the Lord.
Yes.
Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? We have tried to make getting saved so difficult and so religious. How do we know he was saved? Jesus, in fact, told him, today you will be what? With me in paradise. Just keep in mind that we have all these things we're supposed to do. We do them not to be saved. We do them because we are saved. Say that with me. I don't do all those things to get saved. I do them because I am saved. So Christians do certain things you didn't do before you were a Christian, and Christians stop doing things they used to do before they were Christians. Can I have a better amen than that? Because I don't want to divert. Amen? But every once in a while, I knew the Holy Ghost was knocking on his door because he would do this. He'd say, I can't hear a word you're saying. Can't hear a word you're saying. So I raised my voice. I'm pretty sure everybody out in the hospital in the corridor could hear me too. Wouldn't be the first time. And I absolutely just sowed that seed. And I'm walking out the door after praying for him. Can I pray for you? I guess. And he would pray at the drop of a hat, we don't care. I'm claiming his soul for Jesus Christ, whether he was receiving everything or not. But I'm walking out the door and I'm just praying about it. I said, Lord, did he hear anything that I said? And you know what the Lord told me? He heard everything you said.
Yes.
Everything you said. That's where this flow begins. It's sad for somebody to never know what life could be in Christ. It's also sad for people to get right with God, and because of the way they were taught or not taught, they don't know about this divine flow that God has for them. They get saved, but they live basically just like the world all the days of their life. Well, this crowd here ain't going to live that way. You're going to live in the flow in Jesus' name. You know who you serve. You know what he's done, and you know it's not about his will. His will is set. The question is your will set? Or can you be talked out of this again? Amen. So let's talk about a couple of these tonight. It shouldn't surprise you that you and I have to be, having a soul that's prosperous and general faithfulness to God, amen, seeking the Lord. If you seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, all these things, what? Will be added unto you. And faithfulness to him also involves faithfulness to his word, faithfulness to his presence, faithfulness to his people. I know the day we live in, people think it doesn't make a difference whether you're involved in church or not, but that is a life in the pit of hell. Somebody will say, well, I read my Bible every day. I don't need to go to church. Me and the Lord, I pray and I read the Bible. You're not reading the Bible very carefully because that Bible says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together as is the manner of some. So you're telling me you're reading it, but you're not doing it. And being a part of a church helps what? Helps us not just be hearers, but doers as well. So I'm just laying that out there as a foundation. If you're not willing to be faithful, say it, faithful, then these principles won't matter. Because they don't work in the life of someone who's not saved. They don't work in the life of somebody who's saved, but not faithful. Amen.
Amen.
Well, the first one is keep forgiving.
Amen.
Everything hangs on your love walk. And you say, well, you know, the reason that these things happen, you know, and kind of put me in a bad position mentally, you know, I want to react and get into the strife. It's just because, you know, these people around me, you know, they're just so terrible and they're horrible. What if I told you that that's not the devil's aim at all? The devil's aim is to stop your flow. You think it's about people. You think it's about relatives. You think it's about a situation interpersonally. But in reality, it's about the flow. The devil could care less about your relationships with people.
That's right.
He cares about you not being a billboard for God's blessing in this life.
Yeah.
And the way he shuts that down is by getting you into strife. One of two things is going to grow every day in your life, your love walk or your strife walk. It's entirely up to you. But I can tell you this, you don't just forgive once and then go back to your old ways. Be tender hearted, the scripture says in Ephesians. Forgiving one another as what? As Christ forgave you. Anybody here ever forgiven?
Yeah.
Now how long do I have to keep forgiving?
Every
time. Well, answer me this. How long do you want the flow? Because the day you stop forgiving is the day you stop having the flow. And I don't know about you, but I'm not going to have what somebody did or said about me or whatever the case may be stop my flow. That seems like the dumbest thing in the world is allow somebody else to rob you by what they do or they say. Just learn to roll that care over on the Lord and turn them over to the Lord and say, you know what? It's not worth my flow.
Amen.
Come on, shout it out. It's not worth my flow. Come on, say it again. It's not worth my flow. And you know, you get victory over this and lo and behold, something else will come along. You know, like, well, Lord, I passed this test. It's not a test. It's called life. And they're always going to be there. And sometimes they'll surprise you who they are.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm preaching better. Y'all are staring at me right now.
Good.
It doesn't matter who it is.
Amen.
We're talking about your flow.
That's right.
Don't let somebody elevate their influence in your life to the point where that flow begins to dry up. Because nobody succeeds in the things of God walking around in bitterness. All you're going to do is spread the spirit, you know, the spirit about you that you operate in. If it's a spirit of faith, it will impact other people's lives. If it's a spirit of bitterness, you'll do the same. And I'll tell you, there's only one thing worse than you deciding you don't want to flow is bringing somebody else into your bitterness with you.
Yeah.
You talk about the height of selfishness. It's bad enough that you're not going to flow. So let's bring other people into the party as well. Let's get them to share your offense and your grievance and your bitterness. Christians are either walking in love or they're walking in a place of bitterness and unforgiveness, and you're not going to have this divine flow not walking in the love of God. Scripture says on all these things, right? On all these commands, what? The first commandment is love your God, right? All your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and what?
Love your neighbor
as yourself. On these, the law and the prophets hang, depend upon. Knock down the love walk, and then everything goes by the wayside. Amen. So here's the good news. You will never on this life not have an opportunity to come out of love. And if you were relatives on Thanksgiving, you already found it out. And you'll probably find it out again at Christmas time. Come on, say it. The divine flow of provision is more important than my grudge. Come on, say it. More important than my grudge, than my hurt, than my offense. Then my womb. You see, that's why we say it's not about God's will at all. It's about yours. You can decide, I'm just not going to live that way. A lot of peace and a lot of freedom in that. Come on, shout this out. People going to do what people are going to do. And a lot wiser people than you and me have tried to figure this out and have not. If you do, let's get together, write a book. We'll make a fortune. How to understand people. That's not where your focus should be. Staying in love is where your focus should be. I mean, that's a full-time job anyway.
Amen.
Number two, keep sowing. 2 Corinthians 9 tells us if we sow sparingly, we reap sparingly. So, you know, sparingly. If we sow generously, then we reap generously. This is not something you do for a short season. Now, underneath this principle, of course, is your tithe. Say, I'm a tither and a sower. How many still believe there are tithers' rights and sowers' promises?
Amen.
So the tithe is that foundation. But when you're sowing your time, your talent, your treasure, what you're doing is putting yourself in a position to keep that seed time and harvest continuum in a flow in your life. So that it just seems like that one thing is catching up with the next thing is catching up with the next thing versus there's a harvest and then 6 months later there's a harvest and 5 years later there's a harvest, but this thing has become a flow. Now, if you want to be like that, you've got to be a sower like that, okay. Not a part-time planner, but as a lifestyle, you live this way. It affects everything you do. In other words, you're not looking for someone to put something in your hand all the time. You're looking to open your hand and to be a blessing to somebody else.
Amen.
As a matter of lifestyle.
Yes. Yes.
And I'll tell you, it surely is more blessed to give than to receive.
Yes.
Why is that true? Because you're actually empowering someone else to prosper.
Amen.
With what God prospered you with. It's like a twice sown seed. God sowed it into your life, and now you're blessing somebody else. And when you know, when you obey God and there's a connection there and a need is met, it's the most gratifying thing in the world to know that God used you.
Amen.
To minister that to somebody else in a tough time in their life. And sometimes it doesn't have to be some huge thing. I mean, just for someone to at that moment realize, my God is thinking about me. I don't know this person. I crossed paths with this person, and God told them to do this. And whenever you're doing this, sowing seed to other people, especially at this time of the season, make sure you tell them, the Lord impressed me to do this.
Yes.
Make sure they understand the Lord has done that. I've watched this through the years in sowing, and you know, it's not something that you and I advertise, but it's something we can learn from in terms of our own faith and our own development as a sower. Say, I am a sower.
I am a sower.
To see people say things like, I've been praying about this for weeks, or my car just broke down, or I don't have money for rent, and now this has happened. Who gets the glory for that?
God
does. I said, who gets the glory for that?
God does.
That's why it's more blessed to give than to receive. But here's the thing. If you'll be a sower like that, you don't have to worry about being on the receiving end. You will be on the receiving end all the days of your life, because the Word says in 2 Corinthians 9, He gives seed to what? To the sower. Not to the withholder, He gives seed to the sower. Glory to God. Aren't you excited about that?
Yeah.
Say it with me. My sowing
needs to be
a lifestyle. Say, I'm a part-time planner or a full-time planner? No, I'm a part-time what? Nothing. I'm a full-time believer.
Amen.
We don't do anything halfway. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
So you have to ask yourself a question. You know, do you want to see the flow? And you don't have to make this stuff up. Now, just to clarify, whenever you see a need in the natural, you're perfectly at liberty to help out.
Mm-hmm.
Physical labor, finances, assistance, somebody stalled on the side of the highway. But there are going to be times where God is specifically prompting you.
Yeah.
You don't want to miss those opportunities.
Okay.
Listen, those are flow-affecting encounters.
Yeah.
Say it with me. They are flow-affecting encounters. They're going to affect your flow.
Yeah.
Amen. And I can tell you is that you know, when I first started, you know, understanding these things and sowing and believing, of course, tithing was the foundation, but living your life with an open hand, you know, it was hard to understand the mechanics of how this works. We don't have to understand how God does what He does.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, Kelly's been listening to a lot of, you know, Jerry's stuff, and it puts me in mind of some of the stories that he would tell. And I know that, Wes, you've heard many of those stories as well. But he was needing $30,000, I think, for the finish up in Kenya, you know, hospital. And I didn't hear this part, but she was telling me that before the Lord, you know, blessed him with the money to complete that, he was sowing into a bunch of ministers' lives. He gave one couple that had a feeding ministry, a van that they just purchased, you know, and this, you know, basically flew them back to the Fort Worth area and told them to drive it home. Gave five different ministers suits. Lord told him to give these ministers suits. And the funny thing is, Jerry's not very tall. If you were here for his meeting, you know he's not a very tall man. He said all of them fit. There wasn't one tall preacher among them, and they all fit. And so he's just living this lifestyle. Well, he's now in a situation where he needs in this other account so much money to finish this project over in Kenya. And he's now at a convention, and he gets on the elevator with some of the other speakers. And, you know, this lady's riding in the elevator, and she's got a pink running suit on. And then she comes to her floor, and then begins to step off and then turns around and hands him a check, folded, and then just walks away. And everybody in the elevator didn't want to know what the check was. It was the exact amount of money that he needed to finish that project. Now, here's the question. If you were in your wildest imagination going to figure out how God was going to supply a need in your life, some older lady with a pink running suit on the elevator, is that what you would design? Would you ever think of that in a million years? See, it doesn't make any difference. But look at the foundation of that. It's the lifestyle of a sower. He was sowing, and not just the week before, but the week before that, and the month before that, and the year before that. If you want to see this divine flow of provision, make sure you have that mindset. I am one of his vessels. You say, well, I can't do everything. You can do what the Lord tells you to do. Yes. Amen? Amen? And if you'll do that, you'll just see him not just replenish, but he'll continue to cause that flow in your life. We've been in this long enough to see a lot of powerful things happening. But I'm not interested in just you hearing Jerry Seville stories or hearing testimonies from our life. I want you to see testimonies coming out of your own life where something happened because you got a hold of this message.
Yeah.
Amen. It's true, isn't it, church?
Amen.
So many promises. And I'll tell you this, this give and it shall be given didn't come from some preacher in Tulsa.
No.
It came from the mouth of Jesus Christ. We get to the point where we choose to start believing God over what people say. Are you here today?
Yes.
I said, are you here today?
Yes.
Glory to God. Let me just give you one more. How to keep the flow going. Shout out, the foundation is being right with God and being faithful. And then to continue being a forgiver of people. Yes. Continuing to be a sower in your life. Say it, I'm a sower. Number three is keep living right. Keep living right. You know, scriptures, like in Colossians 3, there are many admonitions that Paul, you know, gives to us. And I'll just read this one as an example. Did you all know that Paul was a holiness preacher? A couple over here, and no, I didn't get anything over here but one voice. How many of y'all that Paul was a holiness preacher?
Yes.
Let's just look at this one real quickly over in Colossians. And Colossians 3. When you're there, say, I am there. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will appear with him in glory. Listen to this language. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. All those fall into the category of idolatry, putting something, you know, before God. Scripture tells us when you unite to someone sexually, you're actually also sinning against your own body.
Yes.
What's interesting about that is that's a double whammy sin. It's idolatry, and it's also a sin against your own being, your own person. Now, I know this isn't that popular today in the generation where all they want to hear is warm fuzzies when they come into the house of God. And now I'll just say it, and I'll just take anybody to the task over this. I believe we have a balanced message between responsibility and rewards.
Yes.
I said responsibility.
Yes.
And rewards.
Yes.
Somehow all they talk about are rewards and no responsibility. And some folks talk about all their responsibility but never get around to talking about the blessings of God. But you can't live like the devil and see the flow in your life.
No.
And I've seen so many people just struggle. Well, I'm going to church, you know, and I'm giving. I try to be sympathetic, you know, and help people when they're in need. And I do this and I do that. I don't understand what's going on. Search your life for things that you put before God.
Yeah. Right.
When you start seeing personal sin as idolatry, you've got your answer.
Mm-hmm.
Idolatry will always shut down the flow in your life. Mm. And we live in a modern society where young people think nothing about living together.
No.
And I've even seen saints in the church condone it.
No.
Well, you just condoned them to losing the flow. It doesn't matter what the culture says. It doesn't matter what the world says. It doesn't matter what the astral worshipers and the Baal worshipers say. If you want to walk in this flow, you get this thing right.
Amen.
Why would you put anything, including a relationship, a sexual activity, why would you put anything above the flow?
Amen.
Before you start shaking your fist at God because these things don't work, take a good look at your life and see what's going on.
Amen.
Any responsible preacher is going to tell you to look in the mirror and let the Holy Ghost search your heart for things that don't belong there.
Amen.
Things in your heart, things in your life. I'm going to tell you as plain as I can, you got to have a holy life if you want to flow this way. And that in reality is why some folks don't want these things, don't believe these things, and criticize these things because they don't want to live the way they need to live to walk in the fullness of that blessing.
True.
That's good preaching, Pastor Wright. I like that.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. They just don't. But I can't stand in the office of pastor and not tell you that this could be a major block to somebody's life.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, your cigarettes aren't worth the flow.
That's right.
I'm telling you, your pot's not worth the flow. I'm telling you, your drugs aren't worth the flow. I'm telling you, the alcohol's not worth the flow. I'm telling you, the sexual activity is not worth the flow. And if you decide that it is, well, that's a choice. Don't go back and say, well, God just doesn't want to bless me. No. We are masters at rationalizing things.
Yes.
Just keep to the plain teachings of Scripture and stop doing carnal gymnastics mentally to justify what you're doing. And you're going to live more blessed than you ever have in your entire life. I'm telling you that prosperity is attracted by purity. If you really want it, then that's what is necessary. Scripture is filled with this. You know, you used to walk in these things, in these ways in life you once lived, but now you must rid yourself of all such things as these. First, he's dealing with the externals and the idolatry. Now he's talking about anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you've taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge of the image of the Creator. Can I have a good amen?
Amen.
You took certain things off and you put certain things on. Amen. So I like what one preacher said. He said, you know, you go around speaking in tongues, you know, about certain things in life, and then turn right around and gossip in English. Shouldn't be a surprise. That's not going to work. Amen. I said this the other day. Isn't it interesting that our feet get tired, our hands get tired, our shoulders get tired, our arms get tired? Amen. Our legs get tired, but the mouth never seems to get tired. And now you know why God chose tongues. Amen. So, that's right, Pastor, right? I don't sleep around like those people do, and I don't use drugs like they do, blah, blah, blah. And I'm in church all the time, and I'm a tither. What do you do with your mouth?
Hello.
Yeah. See, we should begin to realize, and this is not God's doing, the field of qualified believers to walk in the divine flow begins to narrow. This is how quiet it is right now. Well, then you say, well, then I don't have a chance. That's where you're wrong. You can make the decision to be in that flow no matter how narrow it is by making a course correction.
Amen.
And you know, you don't want it to be an afterthought come around the middle of January. Go ahead and be thinking about these things right now. What needs to go? You're not going to miss them. Listen, anything blocking your blessing, blocking the flow, you're not going to miss it. No, you're going to be just in such joy over the flow. He's like, I can't believe that I was, you know, stuck by that thing for so long. You don't have to be. Amen. Paul said it very plainly. Don't let what? Sin reign in your mortal body to obey what? The lust thereof. We're supposed to be obeying the voice of the Word of God, the voice of the Holy Ghost. Amen. So there is a flow of provision. It is supernatural. It is divine. It is scriptural. It has everything to do with you realizing that it's part of His covenant. When you do well, it is actually showing and establishing His covenant. It is proof the covenant is real. It's a manifestation of the reality of the covenant of God. There's not a person in this room that can't see that divine flow of provision.
Amen.
Amen. It has nothing to do with what the world is doing. No. Amen. You hear people talk about when they retire, well, I'm on a fixed income. Who told you that? Yeah. Your income is not fixed by some Social Security check. It's fixed by your behaviors.
Amen.
And what you say and what you believe. But I tell you what, you got all these people teaching this stuff for years and years and years. You begin to believe the things that now become limitations, you know, to your faith and to your victory. So anybody here interested in the divine flow of provision this year? I said, are you interested?
Yes.
Come on, lift your hands and just praise Him. And just say, I take a hold of that in Jesus' name. I'll let you, Lord, just search my heart. If there's anything that smacks of unforgiveness or bitterness or offense, Lord, I repent of that right now. I release everybody. Let them go. I refuse to walk in offense or walk in jealousy or harbor any kind of bitterness. I understand that bitterness, that root causes others to be defiled as it springs forth. So we repent of that in Jesus' name. Father, we make up our mind to continue to sow. Lord, not be part-time planters. Are we sowed for a season? But we're sowing constantly, consistently, Father God. And in Jesus' name, reveal to us things that need to go, things that are associated with idolatry, things of the inner man, the inner heart, Father, where things tend to dwell and we protect them. Search us, just like the psalmist cried out, search us, O God, know our ways. We ask you in Jesus' name to reveal those things. And we'll be quick to repent because we don't want to lose the flow over some little idol in our life. We thank you, Father, for revealing that. In your mercy, reveal to us any idol that's stopping the flow in our lives. And we'll give you all the praise and all the glory and all the honor for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
Come on, give him a hand clap and thank him tonight.